प्रभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so we are continuing with the lesson, chapter 12. Any question? We ended with the what's one mood, right?
Serving the deities
with great devotion. Oh. Oh, we did also the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So then the next point is, how important is association with pure devotees? The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shaunaka Muni during the meeting at Naimisharanya in the presence of Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with the pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. Yeah. So here, now, what's the importance of the association? We see many times we hear from the scripture that association with a pure devotee, just even for a moment, averts liberation and so many other things. But again, we have to understand the mood. It's not just the association. In the association with devotees, we want to discuss Bhagavatam. We want to discuss Krishna Katha. Because that gives us the taste, that gives us the desire to serve Krishna. That's most important. Being in the presence of a devotee, it's definitely not very auspicious, and it may even avert the liberation. But what is the point just wanting that? So we should be very careful what we are desiring. So we may still be in the presence of a devotee and still not having materialistic desires. We have the chance. Same like, if we very much desire to be in the presence of the Lord, we may get the chance to be in the presence of the Lord, but if Lord comes, what do we do? Who guarantees that we will know what to do? The lady not dropped the wood and Krishna appeared. What did she do? Right. So who guarantees to us that if we really desire Krishna to appear and then that we want him to take us away or fulfill certain desires, who guarantees that when Krishna knows, we know what to do? What will you do if Krishna appears right now? Just pay obeisances and not knowing what to do, then you will just keep paying obeisances and do nothing? Or immediately stand up and maybe offer a seat? Or just go behind so then he doesn't see you because you don't know what to do? What will you do? It's an important question. Because we, many times, yes, no, no, if he know, would appear or like that, I know what to do. But then when he does, then what do you do? When you are going to be dying, what will you do? It's nice to talk about, no, when you are very healthy, young, and no, there's no really thought of dying in any near future. But what will you do when the death approaches? And it can approach any time. Will you think about, you know, serving Krishna, or will you think about what you didn't finish yet and what you wanted to do and what your desires were? It's very important. So association with devotees, it has a purpose. So it's not just being physically with the devotees, but what will you do with the devotees? Being with the devotees, then no, there should be the desire for serving the Lord. So that we should always keep in our mind, how we actually approach the association, what we are asking for. The sages in Naimisharanya, they assembled for a specific purpose. So they all were listening Krishna Katha. For that reason, then they were all very satisfied. So we should keep that in mind, knowing then what is association. Not thinking that, yes, okay, no, if I just be, no, around and still not being, no, keep our own conditioning, not trying to elevate myself, then everything is okay. It's not true. You may get some benefit, but it will be very minimal. Devotees, previously, during Srila Prabhupada's time, when devotees joined, then they were able to give up all the attachments and then fully surrendered. And then they just were only concerned about what is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, what and how they should perform devotional service. So they may come from like the rich families, but they would be living in very simple facilities created in the temple, and say here in Mayapur, and they were very happy. So they were not much concerned about their own facilities, because they knew that they had responsibilities, and these responsibilities they were fulfilling. This was their devotional service. And that made them happy. Nowadays, many times devotees first ask, what's my facility? Before even asking, what will be my responsibility? And then I want to do it the way I like it. So many devotees like to keep their own culture, their own habits, not to really change and then somehow fit in. But that will have negative effects sooner or later. So we should try to understand what is the most beneficial for our progress. Then, by doing so, finding what is most beneficial, then do it. Follow that. And then we can be very confident about what we are doing. Say, like wearing devotional clothes. Okay, we wear devotional clothes in Mayapur, but we go to Kolkata, we also wear devotional clothes. And we go to Europe, we also wear devotional clothes. We are very confident about what we are doing. Why? Because we identify ourselves as devotees. We have no problem with that. So, and in doing so, we will gain confidence. So, and then, naturally, if we identify ourselves as devotees, so then we will be approached by people who are looking for devotees, and he will be avoided by people who don't look for devotees. So just the externals will create the facility so that we can associate with those who appreciate what we do. And if we try to hide not identify with our real ego, then we will be identifying with something else. And it will be the false ego. And then, yes, we'll be again attracting people who are appreciating that side of us. But in that association, we will be developing the qualities of those people we are associating with. So we have to be very careful about association. In the process of devotional service, sadhu sangha is immediately after shraddha. So then, as soon as the new devotee gets a little faith about the process of devotional service, so then immediately he seeks the association of sadhus, of the devotees. Why? Because that makes him progress faster. That makes it possible that he understands the process, and then he is ready for initiation. But if it's asadhu sangha, then he will fall back. So, association of devotees, we have to never underestimate. And then when we are in association with devotees, then how do we behave? For this association, there is etiquette. So we have to behave such a way so that we don't commit Vaishnava Aparad. And then it is easy. Because the taste will come. We associate with the devotees according to the 6 loving exchanges. Then the taste will come. Taste for association and taste for devotional service. Why is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord the most important for a devotee? The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shukadeva Goswami very strongly stresses to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stage simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Shukadeva uses the word nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Shukadeva Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. Yes?
I've been wondering about this purchased, this used sometimes.
Mm.
Is there a significance to that word? Because it seems like you go to the groceries and you buy Krishna. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, see, purchased, how Krishna means it, what actually purchased means that he become, basically, Krishna become controlled by him.
Yeah, okay.
Purchase means, okay, you have the money. So you go and you give the value of the money in the shop and you become owner of the thing because you gave the value to the seller. So now you gain control over the thing and the seller loses the control over the thing. It becomes yours.
But isn't there a risk, at least, that some might misunderstand it to mean that Krishna, it becomes possible to manipulate Krishna? Or?
Well, see, in fact, see, the devotees who are so devoted to the Lord, then they, as Krishna said, they purchase him. So then they don't have any thought of manipulating Krishna. That's why they can purchase Krishna that way.
Yeah. But I'm thinking people who read this in the book, this is easy. I can control Krishna.
Yes, those who don't understand how actually to control Krishna, they will never get close to Krishna.
No.
So, in fact, if mentioned like that, then it may give inspiration to the people that, I want to control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now what will I do?
Yeah.
Okay, how much money it will cost?
Yeah.
Or what do I have to do? Dhruva Maharaj, wanted a kingdom bigger than his grandfather, right? So then Brahma. So then how does he go about it? He was very determined. Okay, I'm going to give anything for it. No, it wasn't really exchange as a Vaishya type. He was a Kshatriya. So then he was just going to do austerity and he was going to get it. Now, in the meantime, then Narayana Muni, he offered him a path. So he took it because he was so determined. And then when he achieved it, then he was not so happy, even though he got actually what he was going for. So, because of his attitude, then he actually got the Lord to give him what he desired and more. Prahlad Maharaj, just look at him. What is he doing? I mean, from somebody's point of view, he is just sitting and doing nothing. Like externally, there is very slight difference between sattva guna and tamaguna. Only rajaguna, then some activities are seen. Sattva guna, the activities are very subtle. Tamaguna, then there are no activities. But externally, sattva and tama, they are very similar. So then, you know, Prahlada Maharaj may be seen kind of like as somebody who is spacing out and, you know, just lazing around, not doing his duties. But actually, he was on the level of Shuddha Sattva. So he was fully absorbed on the Lord. And because of that, then he was, no, he could not be harmed. He could not be, no, nobody could do anything to him. He was fully under protection of the Lord.
Just a side point. Is this the reason that people in Rajaguna often think of people in goodness as being weak? There seems to be a confusion that being good and compassionate is weakness.
Well, yes. Yeah, people think like that. But that's not not at all effect.
No,
it's a person gives you, he may give you a punch, right? So he expects that you are going to return the punch. That's natural. Action, reaction.
Yeah.
Now, when you can compose yourself and question, why did you punch me? No emotions. Just control yourself and then, why did you do that? Did I do something to you? Then the person becomes very insecure. It's something which he didn't expect. And you gain control over the person immediately. So that's much stronger than the activities of, the passion, and especially under the influence of some emotions. So, no, it is obviously very, it's stronger, but it may not be seen. But it doesn't mean that it's not. So we have to be also careful how to use that. So in the case of Krishna, then what do we want? We want to serve him. We want to gain the best of the devotional service. And the best means that we want to make Krishna happy. Now if we do that, then we naturally will be very happy. So how we progress, how we do it, then that depends on purely how we approach it, our mood. So and therefore, like we discussed before, it's very important to follow in the mood of the guru, sadhu, the previous acharyas, and through them then see the shastra. Because the Shastra now very clearly defines what is association. Then how we approach it, what we do, what's the ideal way.
Different mood. So when you say about following Guru, Sadhu Shastra, Guru is very important, but there are different because different person at the position of Guru is different mood, I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it means that for a person to follow the some are more, I can say, more joyful than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more, you can say, brahmadin than others. Differences like that. So when the principle to follow guru means exactly, can you define it more in its constitution? Means
okay.
To follow Srila Prabhupada, to follow our own successive guru.
You see, so then Srila Prabhupada, no, he is the acharya of our society. He wrote the books, he gets the instructions, so everything is very clear what we should do. Now, he has the disciples, right? So, of his disciples, then some of the disciples will be more attracted to some features of Srila Prabhupada, somebody else to some other features. Somebody is very good, say, at singing. So he will want to naturally develop the mood of when Srila Prabhupada sings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody is into book distribution. Somebody into philosophy. Somebody in deity worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they say everything else is bogus. That's not true. They are just most attracted to this feature. So then they will naturally draw the potency of guru to explain it, so then they will go into details of that particular activity.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody is, say, into deity worship, so they will want to know everything about deity worship, and not just the ritual, but they will actually want to know to the extent that they realize Krishna through deity worship. So they, we may call them, okay, they will be expert in the deity worship. But then, okay, so then some guru will be good. Okay, some is good in book distribution, some is good in singing, some is good at cooking, like that. So each one knows, each one is known for some special activity. Same like the gopis. Under Srimati Radharani, you have the 8 main gopis. Srimati Radharani can do all the activities, everything which pleases Krishna, 200%. Then all the gopis, they know everything, but not 200%, but each of them know one thing perfectly. So then these are the varieties. Then Krishna can, he knows, okay, if I want to know, say, somebody sing, then he will ask specific gopi. If you want massage, he will ask some other. So each of them, they have specific say, qualification or no area which they are very comfortable with, which they are perfect in. So then, translating into guru, then the guru, he will be good at certain activity. Right? So then in that activity, then he wants to follow, he wants to see, okay, that guru, he is good at book distribution, I like book distribution. So he will be attracted by that guru. And then he will follow, his instruction, because he is attracted to him. So he, sees that he will get, the best association from that guru. Now, we have to not to forget that, see, that our attraction, when we are in the conditioned state, is based on our conditioning, our own nature. So we may, I want to distribute books, but I don't want to cook. I don't like cooking, and I don't like deity worship. We are conditioned. So that may be the conditioning. So the guru, he may have the feature that he is very good at the book distribution, but he is not definitely conditioned that he doesn't like this or doesn't like that. He knows it's good, and somebody else would do it not perfectly, but it's not his area. So then, by us associating with such guru, then eventually we will get purified of the conditioning that we don't like something and we like only this. So our main focus may be book distribution. But if somebody asks us, you know, to cook, once we are purified, we wouldn't say, no, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. We will just try our best because we know that this is the way, no, that's another way how we can serve Krishna. So how it is that we are looking, based on our conditioning, we are approaching the Guru. So we will be looking for the Guru whom we can follow the instruction from. And that will be based on our nature. We may like somebody more, somebody less. Now, why is it we are attracted to some personality and we are not attracted to some other personality? It's our nature, it's our conditioning. Not the Guru's conditioning, our conditioning. But when we follow that and we see, okay, I'm attracted to this person, that means when I get instruction from that person, I can follow the instruction. Why? Because I like him. See, it's like children. Children, when an adult has good relationship with the child, he tells him to do something. The child will be very happy to do it, just to please the adult. He will not think, oh, it's a waste of time. No, I would like to play. No, if he likes the person and the person tells him something to do, he will very happily do it. But if another person whom the child doesn't like asks him to do the same thing, he will look for excuses why not to do it. It's the conditioning of a child. He doesn't really know what duty is. So then he will just follow his nature, his mind. So then the devotee in the beginning, it's like that. He just, he's conditioned and he just does things what he likes to do. And he avoids things which he doesn't like to do. So then we find somebody whom we can follow instruction from. Why? Because the following instructions of Guru, this is the primary activity, this is the primary quality which we need to do. If we are unable to follow instructions of our Guru, then we will not be able to progress. We will commit aparat by disobeying Guru's instructions. That means we will not progress at all. So what is the point? The point is we want to progress. But if we don't want to follow, then we will fall down. We will not be able to progress. So we have to find some way that we like that Guru. We can relate to that Guru and then we can follow his instructions. By following the instructions, we get purified. Once we are purified, it doesn't matter what instruction he gives. And we will follow because we will be very happy and we are realized now that any instruction which he gives, it's purifying for me. Even though I may think that I cannot do it, or I don't want to do it, or I don't like it. So the realization will go above our conditioned nature. So we will get purified. So that happens once we are able to surrender to such Guru. But again, how can you surrender without actually finding some relationship, finding some way that you can relate to that Guru? So then, we have many Gurus in ISKCON, and each of them, it appears they have a different mood. But the different mood we see from our condition, position. If we look at it, they all have the same mood. The same mood is that they all want to please Srila Prabhupada. But the angle, how they want to do it, it may be different. Like a teacher. Teacher may teach you
and now say addition. So then he explains, no, one addition, just no, he writes on the paper, 1 + 1 = 2. And many students will understand. Some will not. So then he may take abacus and then show it on the abacus. Then more students will understand. Some not. You can take a rock and then just put, take one rock and put another rock to it and it becomes two. Then another students will understand. It's a different approach. Different angle. So this is the qualification of a master. Master is not only expert in knowing what 1 + 1 is. That's expert, but the master can teach it. Teach it means he finds the different angles how he can explain it to anybody on any level. He doesn't get stuck in that idea that he has to write it down and who cannot read then cannot know it. Expert will do that because if somebody is on his level, then he can talk to. But if somebody is below his level, then he doesn't want to waste his time. Master will do that because master has a vision. He understands that, well, now he doesn't know. But if I spend the time and I teach him, he will know. He has a vision. So then the spiritual master, the same way he deals. He sees the potential of the student and he sees the conditioned nature of the student. So then he approaches him such a way so then he engages his conditioned nature. Like Srila Prabhupada did. Somebody was good at something, now he immediately engaged him in that particular thing. And in case the devotee fall down and then later on come back to the temple, again he was doing the same thing as he was doing before. Not as a punishment that, okay, now because you fall down, so you will not do this thing for 2 years. That's a bogus. What's a punishment? Srila Prabhupada, he sees, okay, this is the way which he likes to do, means he can do it properly, he gets purified very fast. So then he engages the devotee in that particular activity. And then, by the purification, then he is able to approach any other activity now based on realization. But if we don't engage ourselves in what we can do properly, then we will have some reservations, we will have some doubts, maybe some misgivings. Oh, it's not like this. Oh, no, I don't like to be here with the devotees. I don't like to do this. No, it's too much labor. Oh, it's just this, that. And then where is the happiness from doing devotional service? Because of our conditioning, we will not find the happiness. And then naturally just we will fall down. Now, we may say, anyway, he was not good. So, okay, he left. So it's not a problem. We may justify it, not this way. But was it really only his fault? Or maybe it was our fault, not to see what his nature is, and then we didn't engage him properly? Of the fault. Yeah, okay. The 50 of the other person is his free will. But 50 of our is how much do we want to develop the relationship to help him. See, if a person comes to a society or anywhere and he gets sheltered, he actually feels that the people care for him, that the people protect him when he needs to. If he has a problem, that the people give him solution. How many people would like to leave this kind of place? No. But if it's impersonal, if kind of like, I do something stupid, which happens often because we are conditioned. And now everybody just show, yes, you did stupid, now you suffer, and then get out. Then how many people would like to live in this place? rather than, okay, I did something stupid. Yes, I agree, it was. Now, please, no, help me, so then I can understand how not to do it again, or how to do it correctly. Then, that's the meaning of well-wisher. A person, no, who creates the shelter, and he is a well-wisher of the person he takes care of. Then, no matter what he does, he will always try to help him to elevate, to find himself. Sometimes, yes. No, sometimes he may commit something really serious, and then for that, there is a serious consequences. Sometimes the person may commit something very small, and then for that there is a very small consequences. But how do we decide, what is small and what is big? See, on the platform of justice, then it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? And no matter what. So then, if you by accident, it happens that, say, you poke somebody's eye. So then according to that, it's just that now he can poke your eye. But it was accident. And if some premeditatively, poke somebody's eye, then he also just poked eye. So that's justice, and then, yes, that's good. What is that? What is good in that? The one person, he just by accident, poke somebody's eye, so then why he is supposed to lose his eye? It's just. You see, the justice is very low-level platform. Then in Dharma, it's very much considered what is the mentality of the person. What was the motive of the person before he commits crime or activity, improper activity. And then, based on that, then it is immediately decided what is the punishment for such a person. So there is a shastra. Some people, there are many kinds of various people who learns, right? Somebody learns by hearing. Somebody learns by seeing. And somebody learns by experiencing. So, now if somebody does something wrong, now a person who can learn by hearing, you explain to him, what you did is wrong, then you should not do it again. That person, it's punished enough. He knows he should not do it again. And it's enough for him. Now, the person who learns only by experiencing, you can tell him whatever you want. But unless you beat him up, or unless you really put him into jail, he will not take you seriously. So you have to put him into jail. But the effect of the punishment in both cases is the same. But what we are looking at is we are looking at that from the point of justice. It's not just. Both did the same thing. And then one was just told, don't do it again. And the other one had to go to jail. That's not just. No, the other one has to also go to jail. That's because we don't understand what dharma is. We don't understand the nature of the people. So we have to take that into consideration to be able to give proper punishment. But justice is the easiest because it's very gross and obvious. So it's like everybody gets the same. But then the results will not be the same. No, the results are such that now, if you look at what is justice, so then ordinary person, if he commits some crime, he goes to jail. A person who has influence and money doesn't go to jail. Now the person, the ordinary person who did something, they may be by accident. Anyway, he goes to jail. But the person now who has money, he may murder somebody. But because he has money and influence, he doesn't go to jail, and then nobody goes after him. That's called justice in modern terms. Maybe not about everybody, but that's practically how it works. So, which level do we approach? So we have to be, you know, very careful when we deal with situations like that. We have to know, you know, what is the nature of the person, and then how, what is the most effective on that person. Because punishment has many levels. When we say punishment, then, you know, means what? Punishment means that you, no, scream at him, you beat him. What is punishment? Punishment can be, no, just you jokingly say, well, no, we don't do it like this. That's also a punishment. Didn't explain. How, no, say like there's a system, like in the Indian families, when the mother-in-law wants to get on the case of the daughter-in-law, it's very difficult to do directly, because there is always the feelings and like that. So she gets on the case of her own daughter. But the daughter-in-law, she understands that, no, she did it, so she takes it, and no, but she is not feeling offended. It was the mother-in-law getting on my case. So the ego is not there. But the understanding of that, no, she is actually getting punished is there. It's also a form of punishment. So, and then we have to use the punishment, no, accordingly. So then when we deal with somebody, say like with child, right, and he does something wrong, but we didn't tell him before that he should not do it, so then we should just, no, tell him, well, no, don't do it, it's not good for you. But when he does it again, then we can be maybe more strong. Hey, don't do it, otherwise if you do it again, I will not let you go. Now, if he does it again, then we can... ridicule that boy. Oh, when you are doing it, you look like a girl, right? Or something like that. Then he may kind of, oh, really? Oh, no. He may get very sensitive to that. So he may just take it that he will not do it again. Or you look really stupid when you are doing it. Now, when he does it again, then we may take some stronger steps. Okay, you did it. Now you will not go now from the house for a day or two. And then now, if that doesn't work, then something more severe can come. But it's gradual.
But in that example, we are speaking from the point of view of the teacher or the parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also mentioned the importance of relationship having
yes.
The mentality.
Yes.
So what is the I can say the Vedic approach in a situation like that, you know, parents, teacher, student, in order to understand the student? Because from the modern point of view, I can say that there are some work in order to understand the feeling of the student, dependent,
yeah. Like
is
the relationship. It's based on the relationship. So the teacher or the parent always stays as a well-wisher of the child.
Yes.
So it's never personal. I hate you, and that's why, you know, I'm beating you up here. No. So that's not the approach. The approach is, okay, you did something wrong, and then I have the responsibility to see that you will not do it wrong again. So then I'm correcting you. And the correction is not verbal or no later on physical, but it's based on I really need to make you understand that you should not do it. So sometimes you may scream at the child. But as soon as we do that, and then the child just wakes up, then immediately come to the mood. Okay, now you know that you should not do it again. There should not be that, no, I really hate him. No, therefore, no, I don't like him. If you have that mood, then the child immediately takes it, and the relationship will break immediately. There is the relationship is there that he knows that the parent or the teacher always takes care, no matter what he does. But because of the relationship, he doesn't want to do anything which will upset the parent or the teacher. So there is a very deep relationship there. Now, sometimes you may see like, okay, you may see, say, child, right? He may be on the street. And then if there will be a car going, so you may push him, and then what? So then you push them because you hate him? In this situation, you like him and you saved his life. But it has to be done, by pushing. So maybe he will hurt himself. He will fall on the other side of the street. Maybe he will be bleeding. Maybe he will break some bone, whatever. But you will save him. Now, if you do it another, that no car is going and you do it, then you are a bully. So the same action, but the different situation makes the different mood. So then when he understands that you pushed him and you saved him from the car which he didn't see, so then he will be very grateful to you. And he will deal with you as somebody who saved his life. But if you do it just with no reason, then he will not want to be with you. He will not take you seriously, and he will not probably complain about you. And you did the same thing. But the situation is different. So that's the relationship. So in the relationship, we always have to see what is beneficial for the other. We have to sacrifice ourselves. Now, like now, they are flooding in Australia, right? And they got some flash flood in one of the cities. And river is flowing, and then there was one boy, 13-year-old boy. He was holding with his mother on some tree or somewhere. It was very strong current. Then the people came to save him. But nearby, there was his younger brother holding, and he said, "No, okay, first go and save him." So then, they went, saved the brother, but in the meantime, then he drowned. So that sacrifice, you see, and now because of that, this is very much appreciated. This is something which everybody appreciates the attitude of the boy. Now he lost his life, but he sacrificed his life for the life of his brother. So he acted as elder brother, because he could have said, "Okay, save me," but by the time probably the younger brother will be gone. That sacrifice. So for relationship, we have to be able to sacrifice. we may not get the opportunity to sacrifice life for somebody, but even the time or energy, it's also sacrifice. No, I really would like to do something for you. No, but you know, I don't have time. No, that means just I don't want to really do it. But if it's for the relationship, I can always find time. Or I can sacrifice something else, no, for relationship which is very dear to me. There's always way. So the very point of view is that it's the relationship. And the relationship is never one-sided. It's based on affection. Affection means sacrifice. So you sacrifice something for somebody to show your affection. So that you are doing things for the other. Then this is the affection. Attachment is that you know, like, say, or you have some relationship with somebody, but the attachment, it's what you want to gain from the relationship. Okay, I'll do this for you, but next time, you better do this for me. So we also call it relationship, but it's not that great. When a person has a lot of money, he has many friends. Right? But once his money is finished, then how many will stay? So the real friend, you find who is your real friend in the time of difficulty. You have nothing. You need somebody's help. Who is there to help you knowing that he gets nothing for it? Only trouble. Okay. Somebody is drowning in the water, in the river. Then somebody also, okay, maybe winter. So you have to jump in and then take him out. You will be cold. You will get cold. You will be sick. You'll be suffering. Are you ready to jump in and to save the person? You have to sacrifice yourself. That's sacrifice. Now, I'm sure that if it will be somebody not dear to you, you will not think twice. There was once Akbar and Birbal. They were discussing a very similar point. So then Akbar didn't really believe. So then what Birbal did, he made like a wax statue of his son. It looked like just son. No, he had the same clothes and everything. And then, so they were Birbal was talking to that figurine, next to some lake. And then as Akbar was going nearby, so he pushed that figurine into the lake. Akbar, seeing that, immediately he jumped. The topic actually which they were discussing was why Krishna comes down to earth to save his devotees. Why he doesn't send somebody else to do his job? Why is he doing it? He doesn't have to do that. He is a supreme, right? So then Birbal was telling him, Krishna does it because he loves his devotees. So he takes pleasure in serving his devotees. He serves Krishna as charioteer. He loves that. And he can do it. He's supreme. He doesn't lose his position. He doesn't have the ego that if I do this something lower, then everybody will see me lower. He has no problem with it. So, then he comes himself, you know, to please the devotees. So, Akbar didn't believe it. So then when he pushed that figure in, Akbar himself, he jumped. And then he figured out, okay, it was a joke, right? So then, Birbal said, why did you jump in? You had servants with you. You could have saved him. No, you did not. You jumped inside yourself. You are the emperor. You jumped in the water to save your son. Why did you do that? Because he is dear to me. Exactly. So if there is some opportunity, then no. If it's somebody really dear to you, you will do everything for, and you are even not ready to sacrifice your life. No. But so depends on the relationship. That much sacrifice is there. How much affection is between you and the other person? That much sacrifice, you are ready to give. So when we develop the affection for the Lord, and we take full surrender, full shelter of the Lord, then there is anything we can sacrifice of our own for Krishna's pleasure. But as long as we are withdrawing, as long as we are not fully surrendered, then it's not going to be 100%. Yes, I would like to surrender. Yes, I would like to do this. But, this little thing, I still have the children. I cannot do it now. That's holding us back. Not just ISKCON devotee, that will be developed in every devotee. That means that, what does devotee mean? See, what's the definition of the word devotee? Devotion. What is devotion? Devoted means that you are actually sacrificing yourself. You are devoted fully to the person. So devotee of the Lord means that you are devoted to the Lord. So the affection may not be there in the beginning because of our conditioning. But we have to do everything to develop the affection. So how do we develop the affection? Is by the process of devotional service.
I was asking you something different. I remember when I joined ISKCON, we spoke a lot about love and trust. And nowadays, it's a little different. I can compare. So it is why I was asking the question about how to this love and trust, which is a part of the explanation, and to have a good relationship with Guru, with Krishna, and at the same time, I remember many years ago we are speaking like that. You need to have a good relationship with devotee first, and then non-devotee, of course. But devotee amongst ourselves,
yes,
means because you.
What is the secret is that what actually how to develop proper relationships? So there is also a method how to do it, and the method Rupa Goswami describes as a darati prati grihnati guhyam akhyati prichati bhumte bojayate. These are the six loving exchanges between devotees, and these exchanges will enhance one's devotional life. So, what it is that, okay, disciple, what disciple can give to guru? Besides physical gifts, he can show meekness, humbleness. The guru, based on that, then he is able to give the holy name. That's the highest gift no person can give. Now, when the disciple is submissive and he follows the instructions, that's the best gift that the guru can receive. A teacher, he is the most happy when actually he sees that the student understood and follows and realized the instruction. Then when the disciple has some difficulty, so then he is not afraid to open his mind to his guru to ask for solution. And the guru, he is not unwilling to discuss, to help, even though he may sacrifice not a lot of time and energy of his own. But he will do everything for not to find a solution for the person. See, this is a teacher. Teacher, no, he is very patient. That means that he will go through many angles, many ways, many different techniques, how to make the student understand that one simple instruction. It may be that he will be repeating it a thousand times. It may be that he will practically show him how to do it. But he will not give up. More patient the teacher is, then more qualified he is. So then that's the relationship. So based on this, then relationship between devotees will enhance. Bhunkte bojayate. How does it feel when somebody invites you for prasad and it's nice prasad and nice arrangement and you are properly taken care of? And how does it feel when you invite somebody and you can actually take care of somebody and you see how happy he is? Great portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita is about cooking, eating and serving. Why is that? For that very reason. It enhances the understanding of relationship and enhances the relationship itself among the devotees and the devotees to the Lord. Because that's what it is. So, no techniques of, you may like New Age techniques, some you change the heads or whatever, or anything else will not really work. If it's close to the Vedic understanding of what actually relationship is, so if there is some affection, then to the extent it will work. But if the relationship is not based on affection, you won't develop deep relationship. So if some devotees talk and change something or do something differently, that doesn't mean it's correct. The thing didn't change. The relationship always will be the same way, or to establish relationship, there is always the same way as it was before. You sacrifice yourself for the other. And that's universal. Being relationship between father and child, teacher, student, friend to friend, husband to wife, it doesn't matter what. It's the same thing. If one can sacrifice for the other feels obliged. And he does something for the other feels obliged. That's the relationship. So they are both dependent on each other. A devotee sacrifices himself for Krishna, Krishna feels obliged. When devotee surrenders to him, then he declares that not Mahamaya takes care of the devotee, it's Yogamaya, Krishna's internal potency. Means Krishna himself, he sees to the devotee. because he is so dear to him. That's because he is so surrendered. That's the relationship. Yeah? Yes.
You mentioned the relationship. You mentioned relationship and you're talking about we approach according to our condition. Rupa Goswami in that verse you mentioned also he says that we should reveal our minds to devotees who are allied. Is he suggesting that only for the condition state or after that there'll be still some personality and based on that where I'm also attractive?
Well, you see, when we are conditioned, then the false ego is the... So, we don't like to disclose everything because what if? Mm-hmm. So we have to have somebody, you know, trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And that should be, you know, that will be our friend or maybe our guru. Mm-hmm. Somebody whom we actually can trust. If we don't have anybody, then we are very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But that's why we are accepting guru. So we should have trust in that the person is going to help us. So based on that trust that we can open our heart, open our mind. And then, no, okay, here, this is what it is, this is what I am. Then please help me, what should I do? But then when we approach our guru and we open our mind, we have to also be enough open-minded to be able to accept the instruction which he says. Okay, I'm taking drugs and then, no, I don't know what to do with it. He says, okay, stop taking drugs. No, do activity which no, you are nothing to do with the drugs and no, this and that. Are we able to follow or not? Are we ready to follow? Oh no, something else? Then we better don't ask questions. When we open our mind that we want some solution, then we have to be ready and we are responsible for taking that solution and applying it. If we cannot, we try. And it doesn't work. Then we can come back and say, okay, I tried, didn't work for me. Please, can you help me not to come out of the situation? But if we don't try and then just don't follow, means we don't really trust that person. And he will not really give us, most likely, any other instruction because what's the use? But if we are sincere, he will be sincere. So opening mind means we have to be sincere in that. And the sincerity we show that, okay, yes, no, I tried, or okay, for my situation didn't work, then no, please give me some no other way how I can overcome this problem. Opening mind, it means also that we have to give all the details, no, all the, of the situation for the other person to be able to help us. If we withdraw, we just say something in general, we get only general answer. But to get detailed information, then we have to also give details of our situation. Sometimes it's painful, but that's what it is. So more we are ready, more we are sincere to open, then greater... No better solution we can get.
So the instruction basically is for the beginning, right? Once we are self-realized, then that doesn't matter. Like
no, there is always some difficulty, will be there, some obstruction which we may not be able to overcome. In the beginning, it may be of just a purely grossly material problems, right? How to follow the four regulative principles. But once we know how to follow four regulative principles, we have no attraction for it. Means we remove the anarthas and there is no desire for anything, no doing. So we may not be encountering this kind of problems, but there will be a problem. Okay, I have the mentality that I like to control others, or I'm offending others. How do I overcome this? Becomes more of subtle nature, but it doesn't mean that it's less important. In fact, it's more important. That's more difficult to overcome. So we have to be more sincere in that. No, okay, why are you having this kind of nature? What's your feeling? Why you are offending others? So then, oh, I don't know. Then that will not give you much. But maybe it's, oh, because I like to control others. That may be not very intimate, not just to discuss with everybody. But if you want solution, you have to find somebody whom you can open your heart. Then you can get solution for it. So until reaching Krishna Prema, so even from the platform of Bhava, one can fall. Because the nature is such that, and especially the anartha of taking pleasure from controlling others. This is the most actually deep-rooted anartha. And from that, all other anarthas are coming. No, everything else comes from that. So that will be the last anartha to go. And to remove that, even the traces, then that happens on the platform of prema.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama.